We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a very disappointing trade deadline for the Boston Red Sox, if you ask me. They added Kyle Schwarber. They did that late last night, which I like. Don't get me wrong. Even though he's on the IL, I thought it was a depth move for the outfield. I don't think he can play first. They may try him there now. I thought they were going to add a first baseman. They didn't. They added Hansel Robles, a reliever from the Twins. He was their closer up and down year. Throws hard. A lot of hard contact, too, though. A lot of walks. 4.5 ERA. Then Austin Davis, a lefty from Pittsburgh. They traded Michael Chavis for Austin Davis down there. Lefty, 5.5 ERA. I don't think either one of those relievers are in your top seven. Kyle Schwarber will help when he gets healthy, if he gets healthy. Around the AL East, the New York Yankees, they added Joey Gallo, Anthony Rizzo, Andrew Haney, lefty from Anaheim, and a lefty reliever, Jolie Rodriguez. The Rays, they just added Nelson Cruz, right?
Yep.
They traded away Rich Hill. They traded away Diego Castillo to the Mariners. But just add Nelson Cruz, that's a big one. How about the Astros? Their closer, they didn't really have, their bullpen blew. And that's one of their really holes. So they added closers. Kendall Graveman has been outstanding from Seattle. Yimi Garcia from Miami, he was closing from them. And Phil Maton, I don't know him from the Indians. I don't know him that well.
Guardians, you mean?
The Guardians. How long is that going to take? Oakland Raiders, San Diego Chargers, Cleveland Guardians.
I know.
I can't go there.
I'm never
going to. And by the way, I'll say this. Wish all the best to Terry Francona, who
always
is not managing the rest of the year. He's stepping away. Health concerns.
Really?
Yes. So all the best to him. I hope everything works out with him health-wise. Good old friend DeMarlo Hale will
Great
take over
guy.
The job for the Cleveland Indians. I am so happy for him. He's my manager in the minors for a long time. He's been he's deserved to be a manager in a long time. Unfortunately, he's under these circumstances. I wish Tito all the best. I'm happy for DeMarlo. The A's, Starling Marte. Then they added Josh Harrison and catcher Yan Gomes today from the Washington Nationals. The Blue Jays brought in Brad Hand, and they traded for Jose Berrios. More to that bullpen. You know, they needed a bullpen. More to that staff. Craig Kimbrell goes to the White Sox. Cesar Hernandez from the Indians, he goes to the White Sox. And they get reliever Ryan Tepera. Liam Hendricks, Craig Kimbrell, Michael Kopech in that bullpen. Heads up. That's pretty much your AL news. There was obviously big moves. But, you know, Dodgers, they end up getting to, you know, Scherzer and Trey Turner. It was ridiculous. But in the AL, everybody made some big moves. Big names being flying around everywhere. Now, you didn't have enough to get Scherzer and Turner. You didn't have enough to get Berrios. Toronto had better prospects than you. They have 7 and 100, top 100 in prospects in baseball. They gave up 22 and 65. You know, they're big prospects for them. You didn't have that. You know, but the fringe wasn't created, and that's what I wanted. When this whole thing started, it's like, you know, yeah, I wanted Scherzer. They were in on Scherzer, but Turner got included, and they were out of him. Yeah, I didn't need him. I would have liked him. I would have loved him. But he would need a middle-of-the-rotation starter to help with his depth because you can't add. There's no more waiver deadline. You can't add after today. It's over with. This is your team. You needed a first baseman. You didn't add a first baseman.
Nope.
I personally don't think Schwarber's your first baseman. I think he's an outfielder.
What about the Big Fudge?
You got the Big Fudge, the lefty Austin Davis from Pittsburgh. We have no clue why that's his nickname. Maybe we'll find out at some point.
Oh, actually, got it right here. Our intrepid producer, Tyler Devitt here, found out about the Big Fudge. He once said, quote, to my friends, I'm big and I was a little fat coming out of college. I was pushing 255. Actually, I pushed 265 when I was 15, but I digress. That's a fitzy note. I was a little overweight, and there was just one instance that kind of made it stick. We were at a pool party, and I sat down on a chair. The chair broke under me, and that kind of solidified the fact they called me Big Fudge. I'm fat, tubby, whatever. I broke the chair, and thus Big Fudge was born.
Big Fudge.
So he was a fat kid.
And that's where you're at, Red Sox fan. So I ask you, how do you feel? Are you fine with it? You know, are you like a Celtics fan? Are you happy that nothing was really done? Because that's what they do. Some of you are pissed. Some of you are okay with it. You know, buying the big picture, right? Sustainability. I'm all with it. I'm all for it. I think Chaim Bloom at this point was, you know, executive of the year. I think he might have lost it here today. There won't be a single article written tomorrow that doesn't have the Boston Red Sox as the losers of the deadline.
Oof.
Not a single article, I predict, that won't have them as the losers.
Unless I write something for WEEI.com that says they were big winners, because I believe in this team, Lou.
Well, here's the good news. They're still under the CBT. Apparently, they got money back in the Robles deal. He didn't cost anything. Yeah, I don't get it, but this is where we're at right now. Red Sox fans, I don't know how you feel. I'm very disappointed. I'm very surprised. I apologize for saying I thought they were going to make some moves. I was told they were going to make some moves. I don't consider these moves. I think Schwarber is a move. I'll give him that much. But other than that, I don't get it. Let's go to Juan in Framingham, God's country. What's up, Juan?
Hey, Lou. Thank you for having me on.
You got it, pal.
Guy. I agree with you 100%. I think we, you know, you look at everybody else, all these playoff contending teams. They're looking good right now. They got better. We got Chaim Bloom is 1-for-3. You know, with Kyle Schwarber, I'll accept that. But he missed the necessities we need. We need a first baseman. I like Jonathan Schoop. I like Carlos Santana. But I mean, like you said, they didn't want. We need somebody, man. Dolbeck's not doing much. Lou, you're a god here in Framingham. That's what do you think?
I'm with you 100%. I do like Schwarber. I think you did need an outfielder. That's part of the whole depth thing. That's part of the whole, like, need that we don't see, that they think. They don't have much help. They have Marcus Wilson in AAA. That's it. Jared Duran, we don't know. 2 or 3 more weeks of hitting .142, he could see him back down in Worcester again. We don't know. He's on Ellsbury hitting .350 coming up as a rookie. They don't know what he was. You guys overhyped him. Media overhyped him. Red Sox didn't. They kept trying to tell you that he ain't ready. They kept trying to tell you that he needs stuff to work on. They kept trying to tell you that he needs to work defensively, that he needs to cut down his strikeouts, that he has to, like, fix a hole in the fastball up. They tried to tell you all this stuff. But you saw 2-for-4 with a home run. He hit .270. He hit .320 in AAA. He's okay, good player. He could be a good player. I don't know. But they needed Kyle Schwarber, in my opinion. Maybe Verdugo's in, right? Renfro, he's been struggling the last month. They needed that piece. I like that piece. I can't believe they didn't address first. I thought first was the bare minimum. Bare minimum for this team at the deadline.
Wasn't some sort of Minkiewicz-like project out there they could take on? Hey, you know what? A little steak and how great was a Mitch Moreland? Where was the steak and potatoes in 2021?
Yeah.
And steak and potatoes.
To your point, a guy like Minkiewicz, let's say you try Schwarber at first base.
Ooh, boy.
Okay, I don't think that's an easy transition. It's like, you know, you got an infielder who goes to the outfield. Some guys can do it. Kike obviously can do it. Monterey obviously can do it. Not everybody can do it. You spend your whole life on the infield dirt and you go to the outfield. Like a fly ball in the infield is up and down. Fly ball in the outfield is a little bit different. It ain't up and down. This line drives at you. You know, it's a different look. But I think it's really hard to grab a guy that's been an outfielder and put him on the dirt. Now we're taking ground balls off the bat. You're sitting there going, damn, I'm close to the hitter. You know what I mean? Or now you're trying to pick balls. So to your point about Minkiewicz, not even like a light-hitting defensive catcher who could maybe go in there late? Who's that, Dalbec? He's okay. I think his defense is regressed since the first month of the season. I'm Bloom, by the way. He's speaking right now. Let's hear what he has to say.
About the three trades you made and how are you going to use all three?
He didn't sound so
yeah.
good.
Well, I'll start with the two that we just made today. As you all heard, we traded Alex Scherf to the Twins for right-handed reliever Hansel Robles. And we also traded Michael Chavis to the Pirates for left-handed reliever Austin Davis. Both these guys will be good additions to our bullpen depth. Robles is a guy with power stuff, mainly fastball changeup, but a power arsenal, really good stuff, a lot of experience. And, you know, as everybody has seen, our bullpen's done a great job this year. And we wanted to back that up by getting them reinforcements just to make sure we have as many good options as possible down the stretch. We're excited for, you know, his power stuff, you know, playing in our mix with the already great crew we have down there. And as for Davis, you know, more of a classic left-handed reliever, this was an area that we went in feeling like we could strengthen ourselves in terms of the depth of lefty relievers in the organization and in the upper levels of the organization. You know, tough to move Michael, obviously, first-round pick here. Who's been here for a long time, is really special to a lot of people here. But ultimately, we felt this was a price worth paying for someone who we feel has the upside to help us. He's got good fastball breaking ball combination that we think is going to help us, especially as we head down the stretch, and we know we're going to be facing some good left-handed hitters. And then last night we acquired Kyle Schwarber from the Nationals for prospect right-hander Aldo Ramirez. Simply put, we think Kyle Schwarber is one of the most impactful hitters that changed hands this week, and we had identified going into this week that a left-handed bat was going to be a target of ours and a huge addition to our lineup. We already feel we have a really good lineup. Kyle, once he's healthy, he's currently rehabbing hamstring injury, has a chance to be as productive as anybody in the lineup. And we're really excited for what he's going to mean beyond what he produces on the field. This guy is a winner, an incredible clubhouse presence, and we feel really good about what he's going to bring to our mix.
Can you talk about your starting rotation? And do you feel, even with the addition of Sale, is it strong enough to last in the postseason?
Well, we feel really good about that group. They've helped get us where we've gotten. And, we're about to get deeper and about to add a lot more impact. We certainly looked this week for ways to add. And I told you guys that going in. And we had a lot of different conversations about a lot of different possibilities. Obviously, if we had seen something, if we had matched up on something that we thought made sense for us and made sense to the organization, we would have pulled the trigger. Ultimately, despite a ton of conversations, we didn't line up on anything. But that's not the fact that we tried to add to the group isn't an indictment of the guys we have. We really like the group we have. We were just looking for any possible way to make us stronger as long as we thought it was going to be helpful to the organization.
How do you see using Kyle Schwarber? Obviously, defensively, it seemed like first base was a big need, but he doesn't have any experience there.
Yeah. In a perfect world, we would have been able to get someone with Kyle's impact who also has a lot of first base experience. He doesn't. We are going to take a look at him over there. He's excited to do it. This is someone I would not bet against to really do anything that he sets his mind to on a baseball field. This is a guy who blew out his knee and hit 400 in the World Series in the same year. So I wouldn't bet against him. But even if that doesn't come to pass, we think the impact with the bat is huge. And there's going to be a lot of ways for him to help us. It's going to allow us to feature much stronger lineups, especially against right-handed pitching. It's going to allow us to take care of our guys down the stretch, give more days off when needed to some of the guys we've been leaning on. It's going to deepen our bench, when he's in there and when he's not. So if we get where we're trying to go, it's a weapon we can really, really leverage in very important games at the end. So hopefully, we're excited to see what working with him at first base is going to bring, but we really like the impact even without that.
What do you hear about his timing as far as when you think you'll get him back?
Well, we want to get our hands on him and get a plan together with our medical staff. We went into this with the expectation that we're probably looking at a couple of weeks. The hamstring injury that he suffered at the beginning of the month was pretty severe, but he's made really good progress. He's been hitting on the field for a while now. It's really just getting the running component in there. Of course, y'all saw how hot he was with the bat when he went down. He's done a lot of work hitting wise to stay there. Hopefully when he comes back, he'll be able to pick up right where he left off.
Ian, do you have any roster moves, I guess, for tonight's game?
We're still working through that. We're going to obviously announce them before the game, but we have a lot of different moving parts here to figure out, who's coming when and the order of operations there. So I don't have anything too specific to announce right now, but we will have it all sorted out by the time the game starts.
Is it hard? And I know you always preach, patience and that type of stuff, but is it difficult to see, like the Yankees adding Gallo and Rizzo and then the Blue Jays with Barrios, the Rays with Cruz, and not get the itch to, go all in? Obviously, Schwarber's a big move, but just kind of to avoid, making moves you might regret later.
Yeah, of course it is. We want to win. And we're really passionate about what we do. We know how hard it is to get to this position, and we don't take that for granted. But at the same time, I've said it all along, and I mean it. We want to win a lot, and we want to win every year. And if you want the future to be really good, you have to take care of the future and you have to care about that. And that's a very difficult tightrope to walk. It's a tough balance. I think it was really tough this year in what I think turned out to be a big time seller's market in a lot of cases. But you know, that's why we just need to stay strong in our plan. And try to walk that tightrope as much as we can. I would note a couple things. One, I don't want to sell short. You know, I'm glad you mentioned Schwarber, the additions that we made. Like I said, I think Kyle's impact with the bat is on a par with anybody who was traded in the last 48, 72 hours. You know, as soon as we can get him back on the field. But the other thing I would note is that part of the reason why we are here this year and why we are in first place at the trade deadline is because of contributions that came from people who are here because we were taking that longer view. And because we weren't selling out for short-term gratification at every turn. That doesn't mean you will always reap those short-term rewards when you do the right thing for the long-term. But if you don't, you will definitely pay for it in the long-term. You might not get what you're looking for in the short-term. And a lot of what we saw today that our competitors did, they were in a position to do because they had done the right thing and the disciplined thing over a long period of time to build up that organizational strength and to build up a huge trove of young players that they could then either use to help their clubs or to move in trades. And I'm really happy with where we've come, but we have a long way to go. And so to, you know, turn our backs on what got us here, and especially some of, you know, what got us here also got us the short-term rewards that have put us in first place right now. I think to turn our backs on that would really, at the end of the day, be irresponsible. And I don't think we'd be doing right by anybody if we did that.
And just to follow up, how much of a role did staying under the CBT threshold play this week or, you know, in the lead up? It seems like from what's out there, and obviously you're probably not going to get to the specific numbers, but it seems like you're kind of walking a tightrope there.
Yeah, we were mindful of it. I think we have to be because there are implications to crossing that line that go beyond just money. And some of those implications actually hurt our competitiveness and could hurt our, you know, our talent base over time. So we were mindful of it, but it was never a hard line. We just looked at it that we did explore a lot of possibilities this week that would have taken us over. We just looked at it as something that it's something we need to factor in. You know, was it worth the cost? And ultimately, there were some things that we explored that we certainly would have done that for, but we just didn't feel that it was worth the cost in talent, let alone the additional effects of going over the line.
I'm two questions. It seemed earlier in the week, the consensus throughout the game was that it was going to be more of a buyer's market and that prices would come down in the last 24 hours. Why do you suppose that changed? And in reference to what you just said about, being mindful of protecting your inventory of prospects, do you think that as much progress as you've made, you haven't quite deepened it enough to maybe make some deals that other teams did and that you weren't quite comfortable to do at this point?
Yeah, both are good questions. And look, there are people that out there that might disagree with me calling it a seller's market. Everybody can have their own assessment of what went on. We just tried to stay active in as many fronts as we possibly could and get a sense of what the asks would have been and were from us, for certain players that moved. And, we were prepared to do the things that we thought made sense. And, that's not to say that the future always wins every time. We were prepared to pay some long-term costs as long as we felt it was reasonable, felt it was appropriate. We just didn't. Why that happened, I don't know. It was really interesting to see everything that was happening all around us. But I think the worst thing you can do at the end of the day is start being reactive to that instead of, staying with what you need to take care of. And like I said, I think part of why we are where we are is because we have stayed focused on the priorities that we have. And some of the people who have gotten us where we are here because we kept that focus. As far as the other question, my mindset is always going to be that we could always have more talent, right? You never feel like you have enough. At the same time, the more that you have, the more responsible I think it is to then, make some of those big moves. There's a lot of different things that go into that because, the more that you have, the brighter you think your future outlook is, even with, spending some of that currency now. So, I'll never think it's strong enough, but ultimately we just tried to weigh that, against what we're trying to accomplish, year in, year out. And, you know, see if something was worth it for the shorter term impact that it might have. And, you know, we did in the case of these three moves, but there were a lot of other things that we debated, some of which were closer calls and some of which, frankly, weren't even all that close.
This month, both the rotation and the bullpen have you know, the numbers have gone down in both cases. How much of a concern is the state of the pitching staff moving forward? And, you know, do you think that the two bullpen moves that you've made plus Chris will be sufficient to get the entire group back to the performance level we need?
Yeah, we are in the middle of kind of a longer and a tougher stretch. We're looking forward to August bringing us a few more off days than we've experienced recently, and there has been an effect to that, kind of a cumulative effect, I think, on our group, and that's with our coaching staff and our medical staff and the players themselves doing an amazing job to try to maintain themselves, and I think that's shown, you know, so far in how healthy they've been, but certainly. There have been dips in performance here and there. These things go in cycles sometimes. Not everybody's going to be at their peak performance all the time, and that's not always because of fatigue. Some of that is just the nature of the game. But that is why we wanted to go out and make some additions, just to take some pressure off the folks who are here. We know we've got some guys, obviously Chris being the most prominent, who are coming back from injury, who can jump in. And, you know, we're going to do our best to make sure we schedule everybody to keep everybody healthy as we head down the stretch here.
And in terms of it being what you characterized as a seller's market, you know, entering the deadline, would you have been surprised if someone told you in advance, you'll come away with a bat and, you know, two relief depth options?
No, not necessarily. I don't know that there's an outcome that could have surprised me. There are a lot of different things that we explored, including some longer term options that would have also been impactful this year. That you know, players, better known and lesser known players, that we thought were really good fits for what we're trying to build. A lot of things that we were hoping to line up on in that regard that we didn't. But I don't think you can ever be surprised. You know, like I said, I think we put in the same amount of work and it's just as frenzied, whether we make no moves or 10 moves or anywhere in between. It certainly felt, even going back to yesterday, the pace of the day, the amount of action that was happening, the profile of some of the players that were changing hands, especially the day before the deadline, that was a little different this year. It definitely, I think there was a different pace to it and just a different and just a different tone, really, going back to yesterday morning, at least in terms of the conversations we were having.
All right, that was Chaim Bloom trying to explain what went on here today. I'll say this. I mean, the guy obviously is a smart guy, right? And I know maybe big picture in mind doesn't take away from the fact that I'm still disappointed. That I'm still disappointed that they couldn't, you know, go out there and add. I agree with Schwarber. I said before, mm-hmm. I love the Schwarber signing because I do think they need an outfielder. Yep. And I think they need depth. And they're going to try him at first base. Okay. He could try all you want. You know, I don't know if it's going to work. You know, if it works, okay, fine. We'll see what happens. But I would have rather seen a first baseman and Schwarber. And now, all of a sudden, now you're really adding. Because you might need Schwarber to play the outfield because you find out Durant can't play right now. Or yeah, you don't want him playing in September.
You got Arroyo, you got Kike, you got Marwin.
Arroyo yesterday, Alex Cora told us, is not close.
Not close.
Not close. So I get the whole big picture stuff. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if I'm at acceptance at this point. I get it. I understand it. Trust me, okay? Before the year started, I was telling you that it's going to be a good team. They're going to be better. Pitching's better. You want improvement from guys. Whitlock is good to see. Houck's good to see. Seabold pitching down in Triple A right now, good to see. You get Chris Sale coming down, but to be honest with you, a couple weeks ago, I always felt like you can't count on Chris Sale. And I felt like they're really counting on Chris Sale right now. Now, listen, if he comes back and he's the ace and he's on top of the staff with Eovaldi, and then maybe E-Rod can figure this thing out, I still don't know. Like Erod right now seems kind of lost. Pivetta seems kind of lost. You still do have a very good bullpen. You got a good lineup. You got a good team. I just felt like there were moves to be made. Moves to be made. You're a couple injuries away from August wondering who the hell's out there in that mound or who the hell's out there in the field, who the hell's out there in the outfield.
So the five stages of grief, Lou, of course.
Where am I at?
Denial, anger. I think right now you're not quite depressed yet. You're still bargaining. You're trying to...
It was definitely denial before the whole thing started. There was definitely a lot of anger. I don't know if I'm in acceptance right now. I still don't think I am.
I don't think you're there yet.
Because I just, it doesn't, I don't know. It wasn't, to me, this whole thing like, I love what he did. I love what he did. No, that's a Celtics thing. I'm sorry. I'm not going there. Okay, I don't love what he did. I think you needed to ask the first baseman. You needed to add a guy that can make contact at the bare minimum. I don't love what he did. I don't think that mortgages the future. I don't think that takes you out of your game plan of building a farm system by trading away a piece or two from it to get a first baseman that can play. I don't. So it's like, I get the big picture stuff. I just wasn't, you know, I wasn't looking to add, you know, a Hall of Fame, all-star, MVP-type first baseman to this team that's going to cost you a bunch of these guys. We're talking about Rizzo, Rental. Like, we're talking about some of these guys. You're just like, okay, why not? But whatever, we didn't do it. Doesn't mean I got to be happy about it.
Yankees didn't have to give up that much to get him.
No, they gave up their ninth and their 12th best prospects, and I get it. Those guys are probably pretty good.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But you know, you could have done that as well and not crippled your farm system. That's the point. No, you're not crippling your farm system by adding fringe players. And I don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe Eric from Lubbock, Texas. How about that?
About that? You're
down
on the
here
Odyssey
in Texas.
App.
He's not too happy about it either. Eric, ahead, pal. You're on OMF with Maloney and Fitzy.
Go.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the phone call. I appreciate it. I'm a displaced New Englander down here in West Texas. So I was waiting all day for a significant, tangible move to happen today, and we didn't do it. And I'm pretty ticked off because you've got a team that you don't know when you get a World Series contender. And you know, Erod has shown he doesn't have it figured out. We needed somebody in the rotation to stabilize things. We can't be counting on Chris Sale coming off an injury and Tanner Houck, who's essentially a rookie, to anchor a rotation going into the playoffs, which is what we're doing. And we've needed a first baseman since spring training. I mean, it's nice that they've given Dahlback, one of our own guys, a chance, but he's shown he doesn't have the swing for it.
No.
And there's first baseman out there that we could have gotten. All right, it's great to get Kyle Schwarber. Where are we playing him? I mean, are you going to take Verdugo, who's a lefty, put him on the bench for another lefty?
No. He goes to right field or center. He goes to right field. You got three outfielders. He goes.
Right.
Schwarber's in left.
Outfielders. True. That's fine. Okay, but he's got the hamstring injury, which is not an easy thing. And we didn't get a first baseman, and we needed a middle of the rotation guy. And if you got to give up prospects 10, 15, and 22. In some type of a package to get, you know, that type of players back, we've got that. We're not talking about giving up Meyer, who we just drafted. We're not talking about giving – we could have given up Jeter Downs if you want to give up somebody.
I wouldn't go that far. Even though I don't like Jeter Downs, but I just think that number two label to his name, which I don't think is real, that might have been a lot, especially for, like, a rental type. Give me another year in that deal? All right, no problem.
You're right. And maybe that's a stretch, but I also feel like we're a little bit of a log jam if we've got Meyer, we've got Bogarts, and a couple other guys that are middle infielders. But you know more about it than I do. So
Eric, I'm with you. Thanks for the call. Kyle Schwarber is a huge impact bat. I get it. He had that stretch during 18 games. He had 16 bombs. And during that stretch, he had 348. So he's had an amazing 18-game stretch this year. Unfortunately, like, you know, before he hit those 16 bombs in 18 days, in 51 games, he hit 218. So, I mean, you know, which guy are you getting? Like, which guy do you think you're getting? You think you're going to get a guy that hit 16 bombs in 18 days? It was an amazing run. Is that the guy you're getting? I'm all in. Or are you going to get the guy that, in a bigger sample size this year, hit 218 with nine
over 51
games?
Split the difference. And listen, hamstrings, they heal up like that, right?
Well,
they never flare up.
I would say this, you take your time with that. You know the last time he's played?
June?
How about July 2nd?
Ooh.
So we're going to give him a month on the hammy thing, right? And you're probably another 2 weeks. We're talking 6 weeks on a hammy. It should be healed by then. If you get a month and a half of Schwarber and he turns into the hitter that he was towards the end of this stretch, perfect. You know, good. I'll take it, you know, and we'll go from there. But I just, again, fringes. Didn't happen.
Hey, you got a quintessential lefty and a power arm.
Yeah. Yeah, your eighth and your 10th best reliever. By the way, that sound about Austin Davis, I think Robles is in your bullpen, but, you know, talking about how he can help the relievers in this bullpen, everything else taxing. And when it came to the other guy, Austin Davis, he sounded like an organizational lefty. I don't know if the kid's got options anymore, but he's probably not in a big league pen. He's probably not. He's probably down in AAA. He's added more depth down there. So we'll see if they add two guys to this big league roster, one right now, the other guy's on the L. And we'll go from there. All right, listen, we got another segment to go here. Another half hour to go. OMF, it's Maloney, it's Fitzy. Still taking your call on what you thought about this Red Sox trade deadline. We'll do it more next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier. Back to OMF on EEI.
Part of the reason why we are here this year and why we are in first place at the trade deadline is because of contributions that came from people who are here because we were taking that longer and because we weren't selling out for short-term gratification at every turn. That doesn't mean you will always reap those short-term rewards when you do the right thing for the long term. But if you don't, you will definitely pay for it in the long term. You might not get what you're looking for in the short term. And a lot of what we saw today that our competitors did, they were in a position to do because they had done the right thing and the disciplined thing over a long period of time to, you know, turn our backs on what got us here. I think to turn our backs on that would really, at the end of the day, be irresponsible. And I don't think we'd be doing right by anybody if we did that.
That's Hein Bloom talking about the trade deadline. I agree with him. And we said it before, the reason why the Blue Jays and the Dodgers and the Rays go get Nelson Cruz and trade away Rich Hill, trade away a closer Diego Castillo is because they just build. Their farm systems are loaded. You want to get to that point, okay? But all I'm saying is, as you're getting to that point, you know, is it okay to invest in a team that is playing at a very high level, that is the second-best team in the American League, you know, going into today, going into this trade deadline record-wise? Like, is it okay to deviate a little?
Hmm?
You know, not go all in, not just kind of just strip everything from what you've been building the last couple of years. I'm just talking about, you know, what you got for a Kevin Pillar, you know, including a guy like that, and turn around and say, okay, we had Kevin Pillar for 3 months last year, and the prospects we got for him in that 12 to 20 range, we moved on, and we ended up getting a guy like Anthony Rizzo for it. Thank you, Kevin Pillar.
What a deal.
You know what I mean? Like, is it okay to just take that little tiny step back on a couple of prospects to go get a guy like Anthony Rizzo? I don't think that's deviating from the plan.
I hope we didn't just Danny Ainge this, you know what I mean? Like, Danny Ainge held on to too many of the prospects and too many of those draft picks for too long and didn't turn them into big league talent. Now what do we feel like we're hearing from the Celtics? We need major league ready players. We need big league talent.
Yeah, and it's not just prospects. It's disappointing, that's all. And again, fringe guys, bodies, you know, first baseman that can make contact, a starter, that's all. You know, you got a couple relievers. I personally didn't think that was a huge need. Robles, he can help a little bit. He's your 7th best reliever, 8th best reliever. Kyle Schwarber helps. I don't get it. How about John in Watertown? John, do you get it? You're on the OMF with Maloney and Fitzy. What's up,
dude? I don't know. Does Hein Bloom realize that his team is in first place and every other team below him or beside him just got maybe 10 times better? You know, Tampa Bay has never won anything. Not that Hein Bloom has been totally in charge of that. But this is the first time Hein Bloom's been in charge of something, and I think he's in way over his head. Even the Chicago Cubs, look, they tried to build the Hein Bloom way with all the young talent. They just won one World Series. Now they had to dump all those guys. Remember, Theo thought they were going to be in contention for 5 to 6 years. What happened? They fell on their face. Guess what? The Red Sox have won 4 World Series in 16 years. They must be doing something right. Hein Bloom gives us 2 batting practice pitches and technically a pitch hitter. He gives up on Chavez, who's a first-round draft pick, who over 168 games has 24 homers and 80 RBIs.
Chavez can't play.
You know, maybe he's got a lot more potential. He's
maybe.
Young.
Good
he
luck.
Doesn't cost him anything. Mm-hmm. Xander Bogaerts, they have to trade him next year because he's going to want $340 million. At this time next year, Bogaerts is gone. So next year's a waste, too. What does Hein Bloom think? You go okay. for it when you can go for it.
Okay, I agree with your general point. But again, like most people, I think you go a little bit too far. We'll see what they do with Xander Bogaerts, okay? Chavez can't play. Sorry, he can't hit. Good luck to him down in Pittsburgh. Hopefully he can play down there first base, second base every day. We'll see what he can do. All right, I think they're done with him. They're done with him. So he got moved. Okay, he got moved. But, I mean, Hein Bloom, I still say this is a blow to him. This is a blow to him. I think people that follow this team, you know, that actually can make sense once in a while, really like what he's done the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They like what he's done. Like, you know, the Mookie thing, he got the job knowing he's going to trade Mookie Betts. You can blame him all you want. That wasn't his call. It was already decided beforehand. They tried to lock him up for 3-4 years beforehand. It wasn't happening. So he's done a good job. This one's a knock on him. I said before, executive of the year going into this weekend, or this week. Not anymore. And I think this hurts him. Because everywhere tomorrow will be losers, Red Sox. Losers, Red Sox. Didn't do enough. Didn't add first base. Didn't add pitching depth. Relying on 5 starters all year long. I know Sale's coming back. I know Hauk is down there. Got it. Still probably need another arm. Still need another arm. And I like the overall picture. I just think when you're in first place, you got to respect that. And you got to give those guys in that clubhouse a little bit of boost.
A little extra something.
A little extra something.
A little something. Just a little something, something. Now, of the hundreds of replies to the OMF tweet at OMF on WEEI, after the MLB trade deadline came and went with a lack of hashtag Red Sox moves, I am blank. Last one, VT Pats fan 45, in Heim we trust. People trusting the process out there, Lou.
It's fine.
A lot of positives. I'm okay with it.
It's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I don't think you did enough. That's all I'm saying. I want to go to Mike in Bridgewater. Mike, go ahead, pal. You're on OMF. What's up?
Not much. Sorry about them not making any big moves today, but at least on the bright side, Houston and Tampa didn't make any real big moves either. But if we play the Dodgers in the World Series, it's not going to be good for us.
Would you consider Nelson Cruz not a big move for Tampa?
Pretty big move there.
Yeah, he's a little older, though. He's not the same player he used to be.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he can hit it really
well. He's still hitting. Like, I don't care. He's still hitting like he has the last 2 or 3 years. Like, he's a huge improvement in that lineup.
Yeah, he's got a boomstick.
Yeah, I know.
What Houston did? Like, what's Houston's biggest hole when you watch them? Okay, so they added Graveman from Houston, from Seattle, who has been lights out. And they added Yimi Garcia from Miami, who's closing down there.
Yeah. Well, as you said yesterday, though, or it might have been 2 days ago, that they would have killed to have a bullpen at like ours. And
yeah.
The two guys can only get you through 2 innings every now and then.
Well, they got Presley. They shored up their bullpen. They shored up their only weakness they have. And you didn't have many weaknesses either. But you did need some probably starting pitching. You did need a first baseman. I mean, that's the biggest one, I think, you know, that's the biggest one. I want to go Matt in Providence because it might be a dose of reality. Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, I would say at the end of the day, what we're looking at right now is Hein probably saying, listen, we're not ready to win a World Series right now, because if he wins a World Series this year, he could fall flat on his face for the next 10 years and no one will remember a thing. If he's worried about his legacy, he is saying right now, we're not ready. It's not going to happen right now. You need a first baseman. I love Kyle Schwarber, but they did not get a first baseman, period.
Matt, I agree with you. And I mean, that might have been it right there.
There it is. Don't get out over your expectations now. Don't win the world. Whatever you do, at all costs,
don't win the World Series
but see,
this year.
That's if I'm a player in that locker room clubhouse, that's kind of where I'm at. That, like, you know, he doesn't believe in us. Sure, Schwarber is a help. There's no question. But he doesn't believe in us enough that maybe he thinks we're playing over our heads. Maybe he's not buying in. Maybe he's looking at next year and the next year after that and the year after that and say, you know, next year's the year with a healthy Sale and Whitlock in the rotation and Hauk in the rotation and Evaldi in the rotation. Maybe Perez comes back. I don't know. He's your fifth starter. They pick up short money option. I don't know. But maybe he's even doing that. I mean, that's – I am curious to see how they react to this as a team. You know, how they come out against Tampa this weekend.
Fired up.
How they play against Detroit after that. And then the following weekend, too. I think it's either Toronto again. I'm curious to see how this team reacts because basically they're welcoming Hanser Robles and Austin Davis. I mean, Schwarber will be there, but he can't help for another couple of weeks. I'm curious how they react.
Big Fudge can.
Big Fudge. Big Fudge will be there. He might help you. What'd you say? Cora speaking right now. Did he say anything?
Also important. And, you know, Robles, we experienced guy, great stuff. Obviously had a great season a few years ago with the Angels. He's been throwing the ball well, though had struggled lately with the Twins. But there's a few things that we believe we can do with him. And it just adds another quality arm. You know, velocity, the changeup is important. And you put it, you know, in certain situations that we think we can maximize him, we should be fine.
Any moves to announce yet?
No. That's probably we're going to announce them later on, I guess. That's how it works.
Okay.
Alex, where are you comfortable playing Schwarber in the outfield?
He can play left field. We know that. Actually, I had a conversation with the third base coach of the Pirates, and he said that Kyle threw like three runners out at the plate. I should have said, well, I mean, that's how aggressive you are, but it's actually, you know, he has a good arm. He's actually better than what people think. Obviously, the first base thing, you know, we'll work with them. With him, sorry, you know, Carlos and Ramon, they're going to be on top of it. You know, and obviously, we can use that DH spot too. You know, we can play JD in the outfield. Marwin, Christian, and Danny, they're versatile. We know that. So it's a good problem to have, right? This is what it's all about, just trying to maximize your roster. We've been talking about versatility since day one. And not only defensively, but I think versatility-wise, in lineup construction, you know, I heard Kike complaining already that, you know, he's doing a good job in the leadoff spot, but this guy has, I don't know how many home runs from the leadoff spot with the Nationals. So we'll mix and match, we'll maximize them, and we'll keep rolling.
All right, that's Alex Cora talking about, and I think Schwarber, that's the big piece, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's, yeah, he can hit. Okay, I don't know when he's going to be back. I don't know if you're going to get the Schwarber that was 16 bombs in 18 games, or you're going to get the Schwarber that 218 in the other 51. I don't know which one you're going to get. Right, and yeah, he's going to help. There's no question. When he gets healthy, by the way, I'm not sold on him playing first base. You can't ignore the fact that you have an enormous hole at first and you didn't go out and acquire one. It can't be ignored. Like, it's just a reality. You didn't get one. I don't understand how the hell you don't get one.
Didn't like the price. Except now it sounds like they think they're actually going to be able to plug Schwarber in at first. Schwab is at first.
They're not going to.
Sounds like they're going to try. They just said they're going to try.
They can try all they want. They might put him there for a little bit, but in playoff time, you're going to put the first baseman that hasn't played there before, moving him around, affecting the whole infield. Can he pick it? Can he not pick it? You don't have a defensive replacement on the bench. Not like Dahlbeck's replaced defensive replacement. If you got a first baseman, you had Schwarber for the outfield, now you're talking. And they didn't do it. They fell short. I don't care what you say. They fell short. They're going to be losers of the deadline. Everyone's going to be talking about it. It's going to be accurate. It's going to be accurate. There's no way of getting around it. Are we done? Am I going to break right now?
We do have a minor Celtics trade to announce to try to steal the spotlight here from the Red Sox.
Oh. What do you got?
The Celtics traded Tristan Thompson to the Atlanta Hawks for Chris Dunn and a second-round pick in next year's draft.
Providence is Chris Dunn?
How about that?
How about Providence. That? Everybody wanted him to draft Chris Dunn over, what was it, Jaylen Brown? All right, so now you got Chris Dunn. He's been there a huge disappointment, but he is a Friar, so God bless him. But Tristan Thompson, gone. Interesting.
More time for Al.
Is that a Miles Turner trade coming so I can laugh at all the Celtics fans?
Don't get your hopes up.
All right.
You have Al. What do you want more for him?
All right. I got Al. Al can play point, though.
Can Al play first?
Al can play first.
Moves the needle.
Al can do everything. Okay? Al can do everything. Maybe they should think about him at first base. All right. This hour brought to you by Dana Farber, Brigham and Women's Cancer Center. You can learn more at youhaveus.org. All right, last call is coming up next.
All right, time for last call here on OMF, wrapping it up on a Major League Baseball trade deadline Friday. Trying to bring you guys a pleasant respite, a funny finish, a little levity to the program.
We need it today.
After 3 hours and 50 minutes of straight drilling into the core of the earth, bearing down on the baseball anger, Angry Lou has finally left the building. He couldn't take it anymore. We actually had him restrained and removed. Lou will no longer be showing up to finish off the program. Lou is actually taking care of a technical matter right now, so it's your old pal Fitzy. Nick Stevens here, wrapping things up. Tyler Devitt, how are you?
You know what it's time for?
Well, you know what? I'm looking for a little bit of a laugh. I think the audience is as well.
We need one.
What do we got?
We got our guy Ryan with OMF Ups.
20 hours of talking. So many mistakes. This is OMF Ups.
You're like a word genius, and everything I say, you twist it around and make me look dumb.
And it's obvious that this is the way we're going, so it's really only a matter of time. So I've said it. I remember when Dan Graham was drafted and Ben Watson was drafted, and then Mike Pioli called me up and said, listen, it's your job to lose. It's about as clear as he could put it. It is your job. Call me right away. I was like, dude, what is going on?
Is Mike like Scott's brother?
Scott Pioli.
Oh.
I've been doing that a lot.
I don't know.
I called Will McDonough. I called Will McDonough yesterday.
Yeah, and the Red Sox have turned the tables on the Yankees from four down to one ahead here in the eighth inning.
That was Will McDonough. Will sounded actually got himself a really good game. I mean, that's him in his prime right there. Now, I'm not supposed to say anything nice about Will McDonough.
Yeah, Will sounds great.
Will sounds great.
Never sounded better.
He was just hanging out with Don Baylor. It's Sean McDonough.
Oh, but Sean McDonough. You know what I mean. Everybody who's dead, Sean wow. Will. I will tell you who it is, and you tell me if it's realistic or if it's just pie in the sky type stuff. The player who decides to hold out will lose an accrued season toward free agency by failing to show up for camp or by leaving camp for more than 5 days. So for 5 days, all you have to do, forget it, 5 days, and you lose that entire
accrued season of
so
play?
That's you it? Lose it.
All the people that are watching them on TV. I don't think you can allow yourself to think like
well,
that.
Well, Tyler just mentioned that her parents are always in the crowd, and he's saying that she wasn't able to see her parents in the crowd. That may have given her some
One more time.
Jones sunk into a squat and slapped the ground with both hands. Can I just say, I think they're now writing these so I can read them like this on the air. Slapped and squat and everything else. He followed that rep with a dart to something named Tony Fumagalli underneath.
Okay.
Troy Fumagalli.
Fumagalli. Tony, not Troy.
And if they offered her half, you think she'd still do it?
Well, it's part of the Marvel franchise. My guess is she would have.
She
got her own Marvel movie. It's not called Cast Off. I don't know what it's called.
The reason why she
what's
got
it called,
it, not
Garver?
Somebody
when,
else.
It's like when you she now gets her own movie.
It's a spinoff.
I call it Cast Off. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, you're close.
She got her own spinoff on Marvel.
Is Bradley Beal the Godfather to Deuce? Like where is it? Like what? Where's the connection so strong?
The Godfather to Deuce, by the way, is Jaylen Brown.
Get out of here.
Did you know that? Yes, absolutely.
So, then why? Okay.
Some good inside information, Tyler.
Why have you been,
holy crap.
That
is good.
Been sitting on that for so long?
I know.
I had no idea.
Well, is it really?
I'm pretty sure Jaylen Brown, the Godfather, does do a lot of babysitting for Deuce when Jason's out of town or traveling or whatever. So there is some sort of a relationship between those two, but we just don't know if it's the bro relationship that Beal and Tatum have.
Tyler, you need to check your facts on that one.
I'm like 90% sure.
So wait, before we break, Tyler, I guess you would like to correct yourself on something?
Yes, this is a show of integrity and accuracy, so we'd like to correct the record here. I believe that I had stated that Jaylen Brown was the godfather of Deuce Tatum. That would be inaccurate because that's not true. The truth is that Jason Tatum is actually the godfather of Alec Burks' daughter. Harry Giles is the godfather of Deuce Tatum, and Larry Hughes is Jason's godfather. So a confusing situation with NBA players and godfathers. What I had said is not accurate. Forget it. Delete it from the system. We'll dump that, and it won't be on the podcast.
All meth ups, everybody.
Oh, that was some good stuff.
We needed that.
I do.
Thank you for everything that you did Monday.
So OMF Ups, the last call is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS. for kids. Of course, it's Cars with a K. Fitzy.
Nice job, Lou.
Thank you for being here for me. There was a lot of talk between breaks. I'm still not okay.
I was like a comfort pet. I was your therapy pillow today. I know you're not, but you're gonna be okay. Listen, first place team, two-thirds of the way through the season, right. 63 wins,
yep.
33 you comeback
feel
style.
Better. Who's on the mound today? Martin Perez?
Yeah.
Okay, give me like six. Have you a good game.
Six
not your
three.
Crappy one that you've been having lately. Make me feel a little bit better. Maybe I just need to watch a game and feel better. Please don't have that thing like I saw last night.
No.
All right, that's it. All right, listen, I'm going to try to have a good weekend. You guys have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. I believe Big O is back in town on Monday. All right, I'll be here with him. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.